This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Out of those things. But what I can do is make sure that my cup is poured out. I can't dictate for you what you'll go home with, but I can just make sure that my cup is poured out. And you get the same opportunity this morning. Don't go, in one sense, yes, go home full. But in one sense, no, withhold nothing. I refuse to keep my life to myself. It must be poured out in worship before God. Withholding nothing, I give myself away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated this morning. If you were not here for Pastor's Bible lesson on confidence this morning, it was excellent. There will be a podcast on the website this week. Make sure that you go to the website at mbpchurch.com and listen to it. It will boost your faith. Well, good morning. So glad to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning and that you weathered the coldness of last week. Thank you so much for saying that the house of God is valuable enough for me to give my time to it. You know, since we moved here on November the 10th of last year, this is the first time that I've stood behind this podium at an 11 o'clock service. And there are some of you that I do not know, and there's many of you that I do know, but for the sake of introduction, my name is Donnie, and I have the privilege to serve here at the church as the ministry's pastor. And I just wanted to take a moment to express some of the great things that are happening in this church that you may not be aware of. One of the things is we revamped Kids Quake in January. Jacob and Haley Vincent have kind of taken the reins on that and are navigating Kids Quake, and they are doing a phenomenal job. I believe that, let's give them a hand. They have been phenomenal. And your kids and your grandkids have been blessed by the team that's been in Kids Quake. I promise you, I've been over there and they have been extremely blessed by that on Wednesday nights. Also, I was speaking with Michael Gomez and we were talking about Surge. And Surge has 5 students who are trying out for Louisiana All-State Youth Choir this year. And that is an excellent thing that's going on. And also this morning, at 9:30 this morning, there was a new course that began. It was Financial Peace University. You've seen the sign outside, Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. That began this morning, and I believe that they had over 30 participants in that class. And so that is 9 weeks where these people will come together and receive peace. And I've heard from many that the class was excellent. And so I want to thank our coordinators, Dustin Willis and Justin Mahoney, for heading that up. Those are just a few of the things that are going on at MBP. This is a place worth investing in. This is a place worth investing your life into. This is a place worth investing your family into. Take every opportunity you can to invest here. Because what we are doing is we are giving hope, we're giving peace, giving life on this earth to people who need it. And that's what we're here for. And that's what we're attempting to accomplish. So this is a great place to be a part. Why don't we just give our church a hand? We have a great church here. Thank you. Thank you to the worship team for entering us into the presence of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, and you can stay seated this morning. You're going to be if you're reading it from the screen, you're going to be reading the scripture in the King James Version. But I'm going to be reading it out of my study Bible, which is the New King James Version. So that's why my wording may be a little bit different than yours. But there's a couple of words in here that I really want to pull out and focus on this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." Now, I want you to think about the fact that the Lord thinks about you. That has the potential to be one of the scariest thoughts that I have thought all day long. 7 billion people live in the world today, and the one who created it all, and the one who knows how many hairs are on each one of our heads, thinks about us, and he knows us. That scares me a little bit, because I know Donovan Kent Willis very well. And the idea that someone knows the thoughts that run through my head scares me. And not just anyone, but the Lord. And he's thinking about me. My first thought is, Lord, there's 7 billion people here. Take your attention elsewhere. Thank you. My second thought is, what you thinking? If you're going to be thinking, I want to know what you're thinking. And he goes ahead and he says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Are you sure about that? Is that really what you're thinking about me? Because I know my flesh and I know my mind and you even tell me that my heart is deceitfully wicked. Are you sure you're thinking about thoughts of peace toward me? And to give you an expected end. Or in the New King James, it reads, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. I know my thoughts toward you. And what I'm thinking about you is peace and not evil. And I'm thinking that you are going to have a great hope and a great future. Now, in my skeptical mind, I'm like, yeah, that sounds good for a Christian bookmark. And that sounds good to embroider on a Bible. But does it really happen? Is that for real? And I become a skeptical. Is God really thinking thoughts of peace toward me? Is God really going to give me a future of promise? Is God really going to bring hope in this situation? It sounds really good. It does. It sounds amazing. But like I said, there are 7 billion people in the world. How in the world can he think good towards me? Because I know my past. I know my situations I've been in. I know me. And he's saying, I'm thinking peaceful thoughts about you. I'm thinking hope about you. Last night, or all day yesterday, Ashley and I were working at our house. We're trying to get it finished. I feel like we've been remodeling this house forever, but it's getting there. And I wrapped up last night, and then about 8 o'clock last night, I came up to the church to finish putting finishing touches on this message and to just spend some time in prayer. And I got here at about 8, and I left here at about 1 this morning. I found myself actually laying face down right here on the floor speaking in tongues and praying and seeking the face of God, because I honestly felt like I had heard from God for this morning. And about 1 o'clock this morning, I got in my truck and I was driving westward, heading toward Mom and Dad's house. And at about North Perkins Ferry Road, I mumbled a prayer underneath my breath. I said, God, because the skeptic that I was talking about this morning is this guy. God, if I really heard from you for this morning, I'm going to turn my radio on. And whenever I hit the play button, I want God's Great Big Dance Floor to be playing on the radio. So I hit the radio button, and the DJ comes on, and the first words I hear are, sometimes you just need to have faith to get out on God's Great Big Dance Floor. And the song immediately came on. 1:30 in the morning, I began to weep as I drove from North Perkins to the house. And I got to the house, and I was so afraid because I can forget details very, very quickly. And there's no way I'd be able to tell you that story if I didn't write it down. So the first piece of paper I found was this napkin. And I wrote the story down on this napkin because I never want to forget that, yes, God hears our prayer. And this morning, there's a line in that song that utters these words, let the future begin. And so this morning, that is what I want to challenge you on in your life. Let the future begin. Let it begin. You know, you're not alone, skeptic. Or maybe you've just seen so much of life to quit hoping. You're not alone. There was a man in history tells us lived approximately 1,950 years ago. He was a man who was literally called by Jesus. He was a man who walked with Jesus, and Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom, and his name was Peter. When I think about the relationship between Jesus and Peter, it is a relationship that gives me hope. There are two stories about this relationship that really give us an insight and allow us to draw parallels for our own lives. The first one that I absolutely love is found in Matthew chapter 14. The disciples are in a boat in the middle of a storm, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. And Peter looks out and he says, Jesus, if that is you, let me come. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, come. And Peter becomes the first human being other than Jesus to walk on H2O. That's right. What an incredible thing to do. But Peter gets his eyes on the storm, and he gets his eyes on the circumstances around him, and he begins to sink, only to be reached down by the hand of Jesus, yank him up, throw him back into the boat. I was reading these scriptures last night, and I read in all four accounts, I read all four gospels last night thoroughly. And I read where no disciple offered him a towel. No disciple offered him a shirt. No disciple offered him any sort of assistance. But rather, it says that the disciples went to Jesus and worshiped him. I can say that I have been both the disciples and Peter in this situation. I've been the disciples in the fact where I see God do something absolutely miraculous, and I just begin to worship Jesus. When in the boat with me is an individual who is completely and utterly soaked by the circumstances that surround their lives, shivering in the same atmosphere that I am in, but yet I am so consumed with worshiping Jesus that I never paid attention to the individual who was soaked. Soaked in life, soaked maybe in sin, soaked in their personal dilemmas. Their marriage is soaked. Everything is soaked. And the only reason that they have not drowned is because by the grace of Jesus, He pulls them up and sticks them in the care of worshipers.
That's right.
Soaked with the memory of past mistakes, decisions, and misfortunes. And then I have also felt like Peter, sitting in the presence of worshipers, wanting to join in, but knowing what I am soaked with. Knowing that I'm covered in sin, knowing that I'm covered in shame, knowing that I have disappointed and that I have failed Jesus, I have failed my church, I have failed my family, having these incredible feelings of failure, and yet I come and I'm in the presence of worshipers and of Jesus, but yet I am hunkered down, completely soaked. Yesterday, as we were working, one of my new neighbors, walked over and I began to meet him and talk with him. And he began to tell me that, you know, he's a man in his 50s, and he has a 12-year-old daughter, and his wife passed away 2 years ago. And he said, you know, it's hard to raise a 12-year-old daughter alone. He left, and whenever he left, my wife, Ashley, looked at me and said, I'm going to have her over to bake cookies. Well, that's not very spiritual. You know what that is? That is a worshiper getting their head and their hands out of the clouds, walking to the other side of the boat, finding someone with a felt need and saying, how can I be Jesus to you? Because the reality is, all of us have been in life's waters, completely soaked in sin, in shame, in suffering of some sort. And it was only by the grace of Jesus that reached down, picked you up, and stuck you in an environment to be healed.
That's right. That's right.
But even in that safe environment, there is a job of the worshipers worshiping Jesus to focus on those who are soaked. And you know what? Help them and feel their needs. Touch their felt needs. What is obvious that they need? That's a part of the reason why we're doing financial peace. It's because it is a felt need in our community.
Amen.
And we're touching felt needs. Some of the people who take the course may never sit in this building, but we are touching a felt need.
That's right. So important.
They may never make the journey from here to there. And you know what? Some people may be soaked and come over here anyways. And they may worship with the worshipers in their soaked state. And that is acceptable. I said that people will come into this church and be soaked and never desire to change.
That's right.
And it is okay. And we are okay with that.
That's right.
Because we are touching a need. We cannot dictate what people put in their cups. But as a church, we must make sure that our cup is poured out. Well, nobody took it. Nobody accepted it. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that we do everything in our power to make sure that needs are met.
Amen. Yes, amen. True. Yes, amen.
What are you doing? I'm getting my hands and my head down on reality, and I'm looking to people who are dripping, soaking, sloppy, wet, whose lives are a mess. I don't want it to be said of our church that we run away from messes. No, we run toward them with open arms and say, you know, it does not matter what happened in the past. It does not matter the circumstances that life has thrown your way. All that matters is that you are currently right now in the midst of the presence of Jesus, and that is all that matters. It is our job. It is our calling to give people hope and a future.
That's right. That is so true.
There are enough hurting people in the world already. We need to make sure that we're offering hope. We made or make sure that we're offering people a future. So let the future begin. Let the future begin in your marriage. Let the future begin in your home. Let the future begin in the church. Whatever we do, let us allow the future to begin. Because that is the thoughts that Jesus has for us. The second story that I find intriguing is the relationship between Jesus and Peter. It's found in the story that John wrote in the 21st chapter of his book. Jesus is just resurrected from the dead. And Peter is trying to avoid Jesus for good reason. Because Peter is human. And Peter thinks like a human. And Peter remembers that just a couple nights before, he denied Jesus 3 times.
Right.
So what does Peter do? Peter looks at the guys and he says, boys, I'm going fishing. And Peter goes fishing. Trying to run from Jesus, he decides to go back to the thing in his past that he was most comfortable with, fishing. He goes and he fishes. But isn't it so funny that no matter how much you run from the one who called you, he still has a way to show up on the shore of your life. Because that's what he did to Peter. You see, many times whenever we do something that we feel displeases Jesus, or we do something that we feel displeases the church, or our parents, or our children, or our boss, or our husbands, or our wives, we do what Peter did, and we go fishing. I'm not talking about literal fishing. I'm talking about checking out. It's just easier to check out. This is one of the most crucial moments in human history. Peter, the one who Jesus had just given the keys to the kingdom to, is now fishing. Because Peter was looking backwards when Jesus was looking forwards.
Amen. Amen.
And so Jesus shows up on the shore. Children! Children! He uses the term children. He does not use the term bros, guys, dudes, hey. No, children. The word children is a relational term. He was letting Peter know that even though you denied me three times, you were still related to me.
That's right.
Hey, Dad, come see. This is my dad. His name is Keith. And I have the privilege to say, not everybody can say this, but I get to say this. I have the privilege to say that you'll never meet a man who's more like Jesus than this one. And I'm being honest when I say that. He taught me how to love God. If Sister Creel were to ask me, Donnie, do you know that man? Nuh-uh, I don't. I don't know him. And if Darlene were to say, hey, don't you live with him? No, never seen him in my life. And if Sister Lori were to say, hey, you kind of sound like that guy, do you know? No, 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 nothing about him. I just denied him three times. But guess what? My denial of knowing him does not change our relationship status. He is still my father. He is still my dad. Children! Do you have any fish? Thank you, Dad. Children! Do you have any fish? No, we don't have any fish. He said, I know because you're trying to... He didn't say this, but I'm paraphrasing. I'm getting into the mind of Jesus. I'm trying to at least. No, you don't have any because you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to check out and still be productive on your own. Throw your net on the other side of the boat. And so they did, and a great multitude came in. Isn't it amazing that even whenever you check out, the grace of God is there to add value to your life?
Amen.
You're completely checked out. And yet Jesus comes and says, I know that you disappointed me, and I know that you did a bunch of stupid stuff, and I know, but guess what? If you'll throw your net on the other side, I'm still going to bring grace into your life, and I'm still going to, because my thoughts for you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, and I want to give you hope and a future for your life. So let the future begin. And Peter and the rest of the guys with him row their boat to shore, and they get to Jesus. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, you know I love you, Jesus. One time. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, lovest thou me? Peter begins to cry. Thou knowest all things, Lord. You know I love you. Something caught me, Sister Creel, when I was reading that story. Jesus never asked Peter to repent. Jesus never asked Peter to confess his sins. And I read all four Gospels. If you see it where I don't see it, please let me know. He was not, I don't know if he was not concerned with it, because me, in my analytical mind, the first thing I'd want to say is, Peter, repent now. Repent for your sins. You messed up. Ask forgiveness. He didn't do that. He said, Peter, you love me? And after the third time of, thou knowest all things, Lord, you know I love you.
Jesus had this to say to Peter: follow me. Do you love me? Yes. Okay. Now that we got that, because if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. I know you messed up. I know about the things behind you, Peter. I understand. Believe me, I understand. But guess what? I'm not concerned about those things. I'm not even going to bring them up. Where's what I want to know? Do you love me? And if you can say yes, then Jesus is going to command you to follow me. And follow me, I want you to think about the term follow me. Follow me is a term of movement. It is a term of progression. It's moving forward into the future. If you're following Jesus and you're doing what Jesus calls you to do, you really don't have time to worry about denying him three times, Peter. Because he has something so much greater for you. He has hope. He has peace. He has a future planned out for you. Most beloved Pentecostals, let the future begin. It's going to begin again for your family. It's going to begin again in your home. It's going to begin again in your marriage. Today is not the day. This week is not the week to check out. No. Today is the day to simply in your heart answer the question that Jesus is asking: do you love me? By this will all men know that you are my disciples. By this one thing and one thing only will you be known as a disciple of Jesus. By this, how you love. The future begins today. It does not matter if you are soaked in your sin. It does not matter if you are soaked in your shame or your hurt or your pain. It does not matter if you've been or you feel like you've been a disappointment. Nobody cares. Jesus doesn't. Or maybe you've just seen so much of life that the future looks so dim. This morning we were honored in the 10 o'clock service to hear Sister Creel sing and play. And she did a phenomenal job. It doesn't matter your age. I know that there's a massive age difference in between Sister Creel and myself. There's like 2 years difference. She's on the younger end. It does not matter your age or your generation to let the future begin. You can be used by God. You will be used by God. As long as you have one more moment in your life, you can look forward and move in the direction of Jesus. It doesn't matter. As long as you have one moment, you can let the future begin. If you do, and you follow him into the future, the thoughts he has for you are peace. The thoughts he has for you is understanding. The thoughts he has for you is hope. This morning, more than anything, it was my goal to give you hope. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're in the water in need of the grace of God. Maybe you're shivering in the side of the boat, or maybe you're just a worshiper. But whether or not, whatever situation you are in, I'm here to tell you that the thoughts God has for you are plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future, and the future is bright in your life. And the song that I prayed for at 1:30 this morning on the radio, the lyrics say this: He will never, He referring to Jesus, He will never stop loving us. No matter how far we run, He will never give up on us. And because of this fact, all of heaven shouts, let the future begin. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning and allow Jesus to write the pages of our future? I give my future to you. I give my past to you. I will want it here.